some of the thoughts that were running through my mind as I sat there thinking of the lesson was the fact that every one of us was made with eternity in mind. We are at a time of the year when most of us get excited, and sometimes some of us get carried away. It's the Christmas season. And it's a time when people feel happy and joyous. And that's good. Sometimes when we feel happy and joyous, we tend to forget that this world is not our home. We must always be mindful, be it that you are here today as a child of God or as a visitor, we must always be mindful that we are travelers, all of us. What you or I believe does not in any way erase the truth that we are travelers. This is not our permanent home. And that when the time comes that we get at the door of eternity, it is how we relate to God's word that's going to determine things. And it is for this reason we are looking on the subject, searching for answers and solvent in the wrong places. Searching for answers and solvent in the wrong places. Worshipping God. Serving God cannot be directed or be guided by our likes, by our feelings, by our desires, by our wants or our choices, or even by the way we see things. Worshipping God, serving God, cannot be directed by our likes and our feelings. It never was. That is, from men and women started to serve God in the Garden of Eden, never was it like that. Never is it like that, and never will it be like that. So last week, as we look on this series of lessons, today might be the last lesson in this series, not because there are not a few more lessons that could be and probably should be preached on the same subject, but we may take a break. As we, last week, we started to travel through the Bible to look on some instances of worship, where, without exception, in every case, where men and women have gone outside of God's directive to worship Him. Where men and women have put aside the direction God gave and the instruction God gave
and decided to innovate, to bring in their own faith.
Without exception, that always followed by destruction. So we looked last week on Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel.
Wait.
Do you know that literally every person knows about Cain and Abel? If you check a 1,000 Jamaicans and ask, do you know anything about Cain and Abel? And no less than probably, did I say 1,000? No less than 900 and probably 95 can say something about Cain and Abel. But here is the catch. Most people miss one of the essential truths in that lesson, that you have two brothers worshipping the same God, received the same instruction, but only one worship was accepted. The Bible tells us that that was written for us to learn. Huh? So today now, remember I said, we are traveling through the Bible. Hopefully, we can. So notice we start in Genesis. And we are going to move on. Today, we run to the passage of Leviticus, still in the writing of Moses. Chapter 10, verse 1 through 3, and somebody in the meantime turned to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, I think, and verse 11. We are looking on the fact. Please get this. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, remember, merely just attending worship is not it. If you are not engaged in worship according to God's directive, I give you a little brother right here. Worship is regulated by God. That means we were never meant to just worship God as we feel, as we like. So did I say Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 3, and 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Let us hear Leviticus.
And Nadab and Abihu.
And Nadab and Abihu.
The sons of Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Took either of them
his
censer,
uh-huh,
and put fire therein,
uh-huh,
and put incense thereon,
uh-huh,
and offered strange fire before the Lord.
Strange fire,
which he commanded.
Great brother is saying it's a fire that God did not order. Wait. It doesn't mean the fire is strange to Nadab and Abihu. That's right. Strange fire. Well, all fire are the same fire. Nadab and Abihu well used to this fire. But when the Almighty God gives directive in respect to how we are to worship Him, and we bring in our own lights, our own desire, our own innovation, when God look and sees it, it is strange to God, which He commanded them not. Read.
And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them.
That's the ultimate suffering there. As far as they are concerned, they were not looking forward for life after death. and the eternal hell as we now are enlightened by God's word. God killed them. What was their sin? They worship God contrary to God's will. But listen this now. Read on, brother.
Then Moses said unto Aaron.
Why unto Aaron? Aaron was head of the priesthood. He was the head of the Levites. He was the daddy of the Levites. And it was his sons. Huh? It was his sons that just got killed. What a terrible situation. May I just throw a little more breath, Allah? He could not mourn for his son. Not at that point anyway. He could not mourn for his son. And Moses said to Aaron,
this is it that the Lord speaks.
This is what God meant when he spoke to us,
saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me.
Wait. That means don't worship God. I will be, S-E-P-R-A-T-E-D, I will be separated, that's the word sanctified, in them that come nigh me, and watch ye not.
And before all the people, I will be glorified.
Watch here. Where glorification comes in here. This is where the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4 and verse 11, going to shine some light on this glorification. Let us hear the passage.
If any man speak.
If any man speak.
Let him speak as the oracles of God.
Let him speak as God's declaration. Wait. Make sure we get this, brothers and sisters. When you speak, speak according to that which God has declared. That's what the word oracle means. Don't go talking what you like and what you want. That is whenever you claim you are speaking for God. Make sure you represent God correctly. If any man speak, let him speak
as the oracles of God.
As the oracle of God.
If any man minister.
If any man minister.
Let him do it. As of the ability which God giveth.
When you do, when minister means to serve, always acknowledge that it is God who gives you the ability and the strength. Are we out here? But Brother Mitchell, I thought you were going to tell me about glorify and glorification. I'm right there. Give it to us now, brother.
That God in all things may be glorified.
You see what I see? You know, see? Yes, brothers and sisters. When we speak and we do not speak as God's oracle, God cannot be glorified. When we speak and we speak according to His declaration, according to what he says, according to his directive, only then is God glorified. Come back now. When we do anything and it is not according to God's directive, we are taking the glory away from God. You come here and you worship. In fact, you cut off your hand and you give to God, and your two legs and you give to God. It is of no use if that is not what God asks for. Only when we follow His directive, his what He says, his declaration, only then is God glorified. So when the Almighty God said through Moses that I will be sanctified, that is, when you come to me, don't treat me as common. And I will be glorified. When you come to me as I direct you to. So God killed them. What are we looking on? That every instant, where men and women attempt to worship God, to serve God, and when they go outside of God's word, God's directive, there were always terrible consequences. Last week I gave you one, that is the second one. Well, may I give you a third now? Let us turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers. And this time I think it is chapter 16, the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 16. Yes, Numbers chapter 16, verse 9 through 10, and then we are going to step down to verse 20 through 21, and then we step down to verse 25 through 27. Let us hear it, Numbers chapter 16.
Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel.
May I? Very important, remember what, we're traveling through the Bible. You see, we are traveling not very fast or too slow, because we start at mile Genesis and we reach mile Leviticus and we reach mile Numbers. That's right. Now, Moses was here speaking. And Moses is speaking to a fellow Israelite who was also a Levite. Are we all here? This man wanted to serve in a capacity where God did not place him. Read that again, brother.
Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel?
Jonathan, what that is saying is that be satisfied and be content in the place or the position or the capacity that God gives you to serve in. One of the problems why there are so many churches is because men and women are not satisfied and content with God's will. Read on, brother.
To bring you near to himself to do service of the tabernacle of the Lord.
Now, the Almighty God had given this guy the instruction that they must do this. But watch here. They were not priests, even though they were Levites. Their position was to do other activities. But he wanted the priesthood. That's not for him. Read on.
And to stand before the congregation to minister unto them.
What verse are you, brother?
End of 9.
End of 9. Read on.
And he hath brought thee near to him. And all thy...
May I? Every time I see passage like this, I use it as an opportunity to remind you that in worship, we come near to God. God brought you near to him by the activity, the work he gave to you to assist the priesthood. But you are not a priest. Don't covet it. What you are to do is to supplement, encourage the priests in their work. Read on.
And all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also.
Wait. Don't grab onto that which God has not given you. Do you seek the priesthood also? God didn't give you that. All of this, you know, because remember, the priesthood is about worship. Now, that was verse 10. Am I right, brother?
Yes.
Step down to verse 20 through 21.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment.
You see what I see? Separate yourself from this church. You didn't see that? The word church, the Greek word ecclesia, have that concept in mind. The Greek word from which our English word church is translated, the Greek word means God's call out, God's congregation. And watch here. The group led by, what's his name again?
Korah.
The group led by Korah, they were all Israelites. They were not Gentiles. And God said to Moses and the Israelites who stood for God's word and God's way, separate yourself from
among this congregation.
Y'all here? From their church. That is, their church is not of God. You know, people talk about all the church are the same. That is, all the religious gathering are the same. Here you have two sets of Israelites. Are we all there? One comprising Moses and Aaron as the leader. The other one comprised Korah and his grievance committee as the leader. But the Almighty God was only with one set. In fact, start that verse 20 and go on, brother. Separate yourself.
Separate yourselves from
among. Talk about all the church are the same church. Where you get that from? Wait, let me throw something out here. I had planned to throw it out later, and I may still throw it out later. Are we all there? Are you listening? The teaching, the religious teaching we receive and accept, determine whether we please God or displease Him. The religious teaching that we receive and accept, that determine whether we are pleasing or not pleasing to God. Separate yourself
from among this congregation,
that is this church,
that I may consume them in a moment.
That God said, I want to kill them in a moment. And I said, God said, I don't want to kill you, my people, with these rebellious ones. Are we all there? That is verse 21?
Yes.
Okay, step down, brother, to verse 25 through 27.
And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men.
Wait. Depart from the church of these wicked men. Well, Korah and his squads were not committing murder and all of them. No, sir. They were just defiant and arrogant against some things that the Bible, that God through Moses gave Israelite to live by. The Almighty God through Moses said, separate yourself from their tent. Jonathan, if you don't understand it, mean from their church. Because it's not the same like we have an Israelite, even though they call themselves Israelite. People believe that just because the name church is on it, God is there. Huh? You are wrong. Just because these people call themselves Israelite doesn't mean that God was with them. Read on a little further, brother.
Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their
sins. Everybody
tents.
Gets it? That's Israelite. The Almighty God is telling Moses and this other set of Israelites, separate yourself from this set of Israelites. And you know why? They went contrary to God's directive for worship. And God is about to take action. Read, brother.
So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah.
What? From the what?
Tabernacle of
from
Korah.
From the what?
From the tabernacle.
You see that it is a church? Tabernacle. That's right. They got up from the church of
Korah, Dathan, and Abiram.
Yeah, those are his consultants.
On every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents.
Yeah, at their church. They came out and stood in the door of their church.
And their wives and their sons and their little children.
What verse is that?
End of 27.
Oh, brother, I wish I would want more to be read in that verse, but time, you're going to, those of us who are acquainted with the story, know that the Almighty God going to open the earth and swallow them up. But, Brother Mitchell, what was their sin? Their sin was dissatisfaction with the instruction God gave for worship as it pertained to the priesthood. So repeat, Brother Mitchell, to remind us, what we are looking on and we are traveling through the Bible is that in every instance, we men and women stray from God's directive and instruction in reference to serving Him or worshiping Him, they are usually terrible consequences. So we have reached Numbers. Let us move on a few more miles. We now reach the book of 1 Samuel. And if my memory serves me right, I think it is chapter 13. And from around verse 8 following, let us hear it.
And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel...
This is interesting. And there's a lot of things here we can learn from, apply to our time and ourselves. Start again, brother Jonathan.
And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed.
May I? Even after the Israelites cross over into the promised land, that is, cross the river Jordan, their job of conquest was not finished. And in this instant, Israel was facing the Philistine. Vast amount of people. Warlike and aggressive. Get this down? Samuel the prophet had told Saul the king earlier, look here, I'm going on a mission and I will join you close to the battlefront. But the Almighty God wants a sacrifice to be offered before his people get involved in the war. Samuel said to King Saul, remain here. Don't do anything until I come. I'll come in 7 days. Now, he did not say in the beginning of 7 days or the middle of 7 days. So what you need to do is to give the man the full 7 days. That's right. Read on, brother.
But Samuel came not to Gilgal,
mm-hmm.
and the people were scattered from him.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me.
Wait. The people were scattered from him. Why, Brother Mitchell? Saul was deceived by the appearance of danger. This has relevance to us. Saul was deceived by the appearance of danger. Look at chapter 10. Wait, first, right here. Verse 7, I think, will enlighten us on the appearance of danger. Let us hear verse 7.
And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad
mm-hmm.
and Gilead.
Verse 5, brother.
And the Philistines gathered themselves together.
Wait. What did I say previously? That Saul, why after you are given a plain, simple instruction from God, Brother Mitchell, it was not from God, it was from Samuel. No, in a little while I'm going to show you that the instruction Samuel gave for him to wait, it was from God. Samuel the prophet was only an agent, an instrument that God was using. But we'll get to that in a little while. I'm at the point now where I'm showing you that in the same way that Saul the king was taken aback, became fearful and faithless by the appearance of danger that happens to us at times. We a lot of times when we are to remain in faith and trust in God rather than doing the wrong thing. A lot of times we do the wrong thing and we suffer for life for that wrong decision. Deceived by the appearances of danger. That is the magnitude, the massive crowd of the Philistine. Are we all here? Read. Let us hear a little more about the crowd.
And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
30,000 chariots.
Wait. Can you imagine 30,000 armored vehicles? Huh? 30,000 armored vehicles. Read on.
And 6,000 horsemen.
6,000 what?
Horsemen. Horsemen.
Horsemen.
Yes.
Huh? How many?
6,000.
6,000 horsemen. Did you say six?
6,000.
Read on.
And people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude.
Oh my God. Brothers and sisters, you know, a little sympathy right here goes out for Saul. When you, because in those days, engaging in a battle, numbers have an impact. And here, the Philistine, the enemies, 30,000, that would equal to armored vehicle. And 6,000, what? I think there was another. Those are the only quantitative things that mentioned there. Yes. Okay. Brothers and sisters, that what Saul and the Israelites, when you read that the Israelites were scattering, that meant lot of the strong men that were to stand beside Saul as soldiers, when they saw the innumerable host of the Philistines, they got afraid and they were leaving and turning back to their house. But wait. The Almighty God had told, through Samuel, told Saul, don't do anything until I, Samuel, am the person appointed to offer that sacrifice. Don't do anything until I come. It doesn't matter if the Philistine come down on you. But that was an awesome thing. Brothers and sisters, so Jonathan, you'll turn back now to chapter 13. And verse 13.
And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly.
Mm-hmm.
Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God.
You have noticed that when Samuel gave the instruction in chapter 10, verse 10, for Saul to wait, it was not Saul's command, Samuel's commandment. It was God's. Look at it in chapter 10 and verse 8.
And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings.
You are listening. You are getting now a complete picture of the thing. This was probably some 1 week before Samuel giving Saul, the king, the instruction. You must go down to that place and you must wait how many days, brother? 7 days.
7 days.
Verse 8, I think.
7 days.
7 days.
Shalt thou tarry?
You must wait.
Till I come to thee.
Till I come.
And shew thee what thou shalt do.
When I come, I will show you what you must do. And when I come, I will offer the sacrifice. Saul took it upon himself to be king, to be prophet, and to be priest. When he offered the sacrifice, he was occupying the place of three functions that God gave to three different sets of people. King, prophet, and priest. He should not have offered that sacrifice. But again I repeat, he was deceived by the appearances of danger. May I share this with you, brothers and sisters? Enough. Huh?
North. We are impressed by North. North money, North this, North that. North is a deceptive thing. And let us learn. One of the things we learn here is that, or you should learn from this aspect of the lesson, is this. We must be careful how we respond to the truth of God's word. Lot of times we are misled or we are deceived by the human agent. Explain that, Brother Mitchell. When I bring you, or any of the brothers here who preach and teach, when we bring you any truth from God's word, any truth, and it is God's truth, be careful how you respond to it. Don't make the mistake going, that is what Brother Mitchell think, or that is what Brother Mitchell said. Be careful. Because a lot of time you are only looking excuse to do your own thing. When Samuel told Saul to go at a particular place where the battle would start and wait, that was not Samuel's command. That was God's command. But Saul thought it was just Samuel's word. He stopped with the human agent, not realizing that when he went against that, he was going against God's word. We need to learn from that. That has application here and now for us. We must make sure we treat God's word with all the reverence. But there's another thing that has application for us here and now. Let us be careful how we are swayed and directed and act on the basis of how much. The Bible says, thou shalt not follow A. You know, remember it? Thou shalt not follow a multitude to commit evil. What is the concept? Because many people are doing the thing doesn't make it right. Because many people believe a thing doesn't make it right. Are we all here? Because a church is big doesn't make it right. You know, it's from the time. I like these two passages, and you must write them down and remember them. One of them is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, 6 and 7. Quick, brother.
For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God.
Wait, listen. You are a holy people unto God. That's Deuteronomy 6.
7 verse 6.
7 verse 7. Verse 6 and verse 7. Read, brother.
The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself.
Mm-hmm.
Above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
Watch you now. Read.
The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any
Take
people.
Take time with me, dear brother. Take time with me, dear. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me write it again because I remove it. God did not set his love upon you because you were enough. You get it? You see, what? God knew that the Israelites might be looking on the massiveness of the other tribes by which they were surrounded. And they might be wondering why God doesn't make us a massive crop. You see, that would take away the glory from God. Because the Israelites would begin to give credit to their numbers. God no want that. So read that part you have just read.
The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people.
Y'all get it?
For ye were the fewest of all people.
Y'all get it? You were the smallest of the various tribes around. But you are God's people. That's what makes you special. And look here, whatever God wants to accomplish, he will accomplish it with that small amount. The Almighty God cut some Gideon army down from some 20,000 to 300. Can you believe it? Did you say 20,000? Yes, from about 23,000. God tell him, send them back home. And he sent back home. And God says, your army is still too much. But somebody must be wondering if God is getting off his head. If we are going to fight a war, God, we need a lot of people. Not for God. And God cut down, until he left Gideon with 300. Against the massive amount of the other nation. We must learn from this. In fact, there's another passage to back. You did finish with everything you think I need in that verse, brother.
Yes.
Okay, let's complete this aspect of enoughness with the book of 2 Kings, and it is chapter 6 and verse 15 and 16.
And when the servant of the man of God was risen early,
the man of God here is Elijah,
and gone forth.
Hey, when the servant of Elijah did what, brother?
Was risen early.
Got up early.
And gone forth.
And went out.
Behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots.
Wait. Here again, we are dealing with not. The host that compassed, the word compass means to surround the city
with horses,
with massive amount of infantry and whatever else. Read, brother.
And his servant said unto him,
and the servant of Elijah said to Elijah,
alas,
alas,
my master, how shall we do?
What we going to do? In other words, we dead already. When he saw the enemy crowd. But we must always remember Elijah's reply. Mark it in your Bible. Listen, Elijah's reply. Because remember, when Elijah's servant came outside and saw that they were surrounded, and the enemies who surrounded them were massive. They were not in their thousands. The servant, he did not just say, alas, my master. Alas, my master, in other words, it's exclamation of fear. But listen, the man of God.
And he answered.
Elijah, that is answer.
Fear not.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Should I now start another sermon right here on fear not? Fear not. The Almighty God has been saying that to his people from when, not when. Fear not.
For they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
No, those are words. Those are words. God, those are words. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. Brothers and sisters, do you know that it is always like that? That the men and women who live close to God, who respect God's word and God's will, Never measure yourself with that out there which seems so much bigger than you. Huh? David, as a young, inexperienced boy, was more than Goliath, the man who was about 9 feet tall, an experienced soldier. David, the inexperienced young man, was more than him. Huh? It is always that for those who fear God, reverence God, live close to God, you are always more than. Those who may want to do you wrong, do you hurt, those who are not children of God, God is always in the majority. I like how Elijah put it. Read it again, brother. I wouldn't mind if you could read it a million times, but just one more time will sufficient for me.
And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them."
You must write that passage down. Don't forget that passage. As I said, the first one is in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. And this one is in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. Mark it in your Bible. Because these are words of encouragement. We need not fear when God is on our side. But you know what? You must make sure that He's on your side. And the lesson today is about that. That don't go with your innovation, what you like and what you want and how you see things. That's what creates problems for King Saul. The prophet told him, don't do anything until I come. Offering the sacrifice was not King Saul's business. Your business as king to go out and fight the war. Leave Samuel's business to him. Not because Samuel made that law, but because God made it, and you must respect the word of God. Some people talk like they are uplifting God, and they show all the irreverence for God's word. Don't make that mistake. Because it carries consequences both here and in the hereafter. Oh Lord, so much more, you know. We're going to end right here, we have to. The aspect of the lesson we reach, which I will not be able to preach, but let me just... How most men and women use the teaching and the practices of various denominations to know and to understand what is the church and Christianity is about. I wish that we had time, but we don't have any more time to go into that. And to know how the true church is to function is like a man who has. That's right. When you look in the various denominations, man-made churches, if you are looking in them to understand what Christianity is, it's like the Ethiopian nobleman wanting to worship correctly and went and worshiped with the Jews in Jerusalem. He was still worshiping incorrectly. And the person that God provided to teach him and direct him right was nobody from where he was worshipping, because nobody there knew the truth. God provided Philip. Well, it's the same with men and women today. You can't look in the various denominations to know what Christian. I brought here
the Pentecostal manual, to quote just a few lines from it. I brought here the Roman Catholic Catechism. They wrote this to point out, if you're looking in the Roman Catholic Church to understand Christianity, you are way off. If you're looking in the Pentecostal Church, I'm really sorry that we won't be able to deal with that, but time is gone. So much to share on this series of lectures. Hopefully, I will be tempted to revisit this aspect of the lesson in another few weeks or another few months. Suffice it to say, not only that, there are some, remember, we reach only part of the journey as we're traveling. As I speak, I almost forget to tell you, only part of the journey. We don't even enter the New Testament yet. To show you every instance where men and women go outside of God's word to serve Him, to worship Him, there are always terrible consequences. Because men cannot serve and worship God the right way outside of God's directive. God's word. You cannot. If you are here today, it's no accident that you are here. The Almighty God directed you here to listen to His word. And you can fix your life so that it is in keeping with God's plan for your eternal peace. Yes, you can fix your life today through Jesus Christ. You see, on your own, you cannot fix your life. Huh? That's right. That's why the Almighty God sent Jesus Christ to pay the price at Calvary. And you must come to Christ. You must acknowledge that you are a sinner within your own mind, that you have not lived the way God wants you to live. You must further believe in Christ, and that includes acknowledging, believing, accepting that Jesus Christ is the only person who can address your sin problem when you come to Him. You must have faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. He is your Savior and He is the only Savior. You must move from belief. Just believing doesn't save you. You must repent. What is that, Mr. Mitchell? It is to turn from sinful living, sinful thinking, sinful words, sinful action, to right living. It means to turn from the ungodly ways of the world to the righteous ways of Christ. It means to turn from self to Jesus Christ. That is, Jesus Christ will be your leader, your guide. That's repentance. Are you a Christian when you repent? No. You must confess, not your sin, because you would forget some of them anyway. You must confess Jesus Christ. That is, you must show by your mouth that you are not ashamed of Christ. Well, you are there thinking, oh, that's the way they do it in this church. No, I'm telling you what God has laid down in the gospel as the condition for salvation. So when I confess Christ's name, Mr. Mitchell, am I a Christian? No. All the sins you have committed all your life is still there held against you. You must be baptized to get under the influence of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what's cleansed from sin. But the only way you get into Jesus' death, symbolically that is, to get in touch with His blood, is through baptism. So the Bible tells us that we die with Christ. We are buried with Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 4. Yes. So you must hear God's word. You must believe in Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sin. You must confess faith in Christ, and you must be baptized. These are the steps that the gospel laid down. The Church of Christ teach it, believe it, and follow it. That's part of what makes us the Church of Christ. If we go